Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, today we begin to move into the last section of Romans chapter 10. You remember that chapters 9 through 11 basically are addressing the question, what about the Jew? The puzzling question as to why so many of the members of the nation of Israel, the chosen and favored people of God, have failed to believe the gospel. Is the gospel of Jesus Christ the true way of salvation? Some of the Jews, and even Jewish Christians, I suppose, in Paul's day may have been wondering as they pondered this question, are the promises God makes to those who believe on Jesus Christ valid, since similar promises were made to the Jews and many of them failed to obtain them? Would be another question that might be upon the minds of some. And so the answer to these and other questions is the contents of Romans 9, 10, and 11, with Paul's intense longing for Israel that is expressed in these chapters. In chapter 9, the answer to the Jewish question is divine sovereignty, the doctrine of election. Salvation was never God's intention for all of the members of national Israel. The promises were made and fulfilled exactly as God intended and as men believed God's word. And there is an important distinction between national Israel and spiritual Israel. Both were chosen of God, and both are the elect of God, but in different senses. Each were chosen for different purposes, the one for an earthly purpose and the other for a heavenly purpose. National Israel as a whole was the elect of God for an earthly purpose. Spiritual Israel, only a portion of national Israel, were the elect of God for a heavenly purpose. And that basically is the contents of chapter 9. But in chapter 10, the answer is from the other side of the coin. And here the answer is not divine sovereignty, but rather human responsibility. Why have so many Jews failed to obtain the promises of salvation? Because of unbelief. And after stating that in the first part of chapter 10, Paul then restates the promises, and that's why we have that wonderful section in roughly the middle portion of Romans chapter 10 that is filled with gospel truth and gospel invitation and gospel evangelism, gospel missions, the spread of the gospel to all the world, a wonderful portion of God's word. How poor we would be as Christians without this section of Scripture. And here, the emphasis is upon the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here is an emphasis upon whosoever will, send the gospel message over vale and hill. 'Tis a loving Father calls the sinner home, whosoever will may come, or something like that. I may have mangled it a little bit. And what Paul is telling us in this section is that if men are unconverted, it is because of their failure to believe. Now that's a very different answer from chapter 9. And in the minds of some, the answer of chapter 9 and the answer of chapter 10 are incompatible. Both could not be true. But God puts them together. God states them both as reasons why many Jews failed to obtain the promises of God. And what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Are you listening to me? If God has joined these two concepts together without blushing, without apologizing, without explanation, without saying that these things are incompatible and impossible, if God has joined them together, then why do men think that we understand more than God and that we have the right to cut them asunder and basically to eliminate one or the other and say, if this be true, this other can't be true? That's no way to handle the Word of God. And so there are, in chapter 10, several verses that are very familiar to God's people, verses that deal with salvation by faith and with the gospel call and the need for gospel preachers. But chapter 9 is virtually unknown because so many people skip right over it. So when we come to chapter 10, we have in the beginning, at the opening, God's earnest prayer for Israel's salvation, verse 1. Secondly, the reason for Israel's lost condition, verses 2 and 3. We're told that they have a zeal for God, but without knowledge. A misinformed, a misguided zeal, verse 2. And that they are working to establish their own righteousness, not God's righteousness, that's verse 3. Or maybe another way to put it is they are working to establish righteousness with God on their own terms rather than by God's terms. And then in verses 4 through 13, Paul lays out two competing ways to obtain righteousness. There is Christ, verse 4. There's the law, verse 5. And then there's faith, verses 6 through 13. And of course, that goes with Christ rather than the law. And he gives us the elements necessary for men to call upon Christ for salvation, verses 14 and 15. How shall they call unless they believe? How shall they believe unless they hear? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they are sent? And now, coming to the last part of chapter 10, still answering this question, why do men fail to believe the gospel? We have the following answers. Number 1, because of stubborn disobedience, verse 16. Number 2, because of failure to hear God's revelation, verse 17. And number 3, because of failure to hearken to God's word, verse 18. And so Paul is still dealing with this question, why do so many not believe the gospel? Primarily Jews that he has in mind, but actually these answers will also apply to Gentiles as well. And what he's showing us is that man's sinful heart is the reason for his lost condition, and that man is fully responsible for his unbelief. Do you hear me? Man's sinful heart is the reason for his lost condition, and man is fully responsible for his unbelief. And so we begin with the statement about man's stubborn disobedience. Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? They have not all obeyed the gospel. And here is a statement regarding the failure of many in the nation of Israel to be saved. And it's a very simple one. They have not all obeyed the gospel. It's really something of an understatement, because actually he could have said most of them have not obeyed the gospel rather than saying that, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. But of course, the statement as it stands is absolutely true. And that's the problem. All who have obeyed the gospel have obtained salvation, but those who have not obeyed the gospel have not. And so here's a concise statement identifying the central issue. All have not obeyed the gospel. The word akouo in the Greek means to hear. Hupakouo means to obey or to hear under, to place oneself under authority. Akuo is the thing heard, the report. And so this idea of hearing the gospel and obeying the gospel actually are more closely tied together in the Greek language than we might suspect if we're dealing only with the English, because to us, to hear, to believe, to hear in the sense of truly hearing and believing, embracing, and obeying seem to be rather distant concepts, not closely tied together at all. But here, actually, they are very closely tied together. But the reason Paul is using this language is because he is actually picking out a statement from the Old Testament scriptures. It comes from Isaiah 53 and verse 1. And there are similar statements in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 through 13. But what this statement is, as spoken by the prophet Isaiah, is a prophetic statement indicating the pervasiveness of the Jewish problem. It was a problem in Isaiah's day. It continued to be a problem in Christ's day. And it continued to be a problem in the days of the Apostle Paul. What's the problem? They have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? You see there how in the same statement he calls the same problem, on the one hand, failure to obey, and on the other hand, failure to believe. They have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? That was the statement of Isaiah in Isaiah 53:1. And of course, Isaiah was lamenting the fact that though he was proclaiming the word of God, so few in his nation, in his lifetime, were willing to believe it. If you remember, when Isaiah was commissioned, and that takes us back to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 and following, when Isaiah was commissioned, he was told by God that he would preach to the nation of Israel, and they wouldn't hear him. He would preach without positive effect. How's that for an assignment? In our day, many preachers are unwilling to accept that assignment, or the possibility even of that assignment, and are determined that they are going to have positive results for their labors one way or another. And if they don't seem to be forthcoming as quickly and as fruitfully, as generously as they would like to see them come, they're going to find some new methods that will make it happen one way or another. That's a problem. Because it's a failure to recognize several things. It's certainly a failure to recognize the sovereignty of God in all of this, that God sometimes blesses a ministry with fruitful response. Sometimes it is God's will, God's purpose to have a ministry, a messenger, a preacher, laboring faithfully without much visible fruit. There are times when that is God's purpose for a preacher. And the question is not, is the preacher effective in the way that people measure effect? The question is the preacher faithful to his assignment regardless of the visible results? That's the mark of good service to Christ, faithfulness to the assignment regardless of the results. To be so determined to have certain results that you're willing to do things another way than God's way is not commendable in the eyes of God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.